From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Whether you're lazing by the pool or passing time at the airport, summer is a great time to get lost in a good book. Deborah Taylor of the Enoch Pratt Free Library shares thrillers, memoirs, and more for adults. And Jamie Watson of the Baltimore County Public Library has selections for children, teens, and reluctant readers, including The Book of Mistakes by Karina Lucan.
She decides to turn all of her mistakes into a new way of looking at things, and it goes from trying to make the other eye bigger, covering her with glasses, giving her roller skates, putting her in a scene. It's super fun as you turn the page and you watch the girl appear differently.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Whether you're lounging by the pool, unwinding in the shade, or killing time changing planes, summer can be a great time for a good book. From memoirs and thrillers to astrophysics, we've got titles from authors both well-established and brand new. A bit later, we'll hear recommendations of summer reads for kids and teens. But first, let's hear from Deborah Taylor, coordinator for school and student services at the Enoch Pratt Free Library. Welcome back, Deborah.
It's good to be back.
While many people are happy to tote a physical book around, there are alternatives if someone's looking to travel light. What other options can people find at the Pratt?
Well, of course, you can download ebooks. You can also download audiobooks. You can get the physical audiobooks to take with you in the car if you want to control your CDs. And so there are many different ways that you can travel with books this summer.
Let's start with memoirs. You've got several picks from a diverse group of writers. The first is from poet and writer Sherman Alexie. His memoir, You Don't Have to Say You Love Me, is about his complicated relationship with his mother.
Yes, many of us may remember that a few years ago, the Maryland Humanities Council chose the absolutely true story of a part-time Indian, which was autobiographical, but it was a novel. And in this particular book, he actually explores many of the same things that happened to him in that book. But here, he really delves deeply into the relationship with his mother. His mother and his father had difficulties with alcohol. His mother did stop drinking, but she was often very hurtful to him in his mind, and she was a difficult person to love. But they managed to love each other anyway. It's really an incredible read because it's a combination of prose and poetry. And so very often, the most evocative experiences he expresses through the poetry in the book, as well as his really incredible turn of phrase with prose. So he is someone that I truly love to listen to as well. I'm sure it's going to come out in audiobook. And he is a terrific reader if he gets to read it himself.
Do you often listen to an audiobook after you've read the printed book?
Not often, because time factor. But if it's someone whose work I really like, I find myself listening to the audio, even if I've already read the book.
Next on your list is My Soul Looks Back by Jessica B. Harris. Harris may be better known as a food historian and cookbook author. She was born in 1948, and her memoir reflects on youth, growing up in Queens, and making a name for herself as a journalist.
I once had the pleasure of meeting her, and it was one of those stories that you never forget. She was such a food critic and a food person. She's the only person I ever saw actually send wine back and have
in a restaurant
and have them come out and apologize to her that she was absolutely correct. So it's so interesting to read this memoir to find out how she became this formidable person that she became. She was not just a food critic, but she's such almost an anthropologist in terms of how she connected food and culture, both African-American and African. And also it reads like a who's who of all the famous people that she knew and that she touched shoulders with, her longtime relationship with the man in her life. It has so much. It's such a rich autobiography or memoir, and it's the kind of book you can lose yourself in the summer.
One more memoir. This one, maybe on the lighter side. Comedian Kevin Hart is known for stand-up and for films like Ride Along and Think Like a Man. Last year, he out-earned fellow comedian Jerry Seinfeld, earning nearly $90 million. But his path to fame and success has been bumpy.
And he had a really difficult childhood as well. And he doesn't spare any details about the kind of fraught relationship between his parents and his mother, who was kind of a very strict and also didn't take any nonsense type of person. But he looks back and he realizes that she taught him everything he needed to know to be a success in the business. She taught him discipline. She taught him how to stay on time. And so even you have this kind of crazy comic and funny man, he really is very disciplined underneath all of that. But I think the relationship that he had with his mother also led to some difficult relationships in his personal life. And he explores all of those things. And he also has that you have that experience when you read this of sometimes laughing and sometimes feeling like, oh, this is really tough.
Let's move into fiction. You brought us a tale of psychological suspense from Paula Hawkins, who wrote The Girl on the Train. Her new book is Into the Water.
This is really an unusual book. It takes place in a small British town, and women have been drowning in this river since 1679. So it becomes both a place that people go to experience nature, but it also has this aura about it because so many people have lost their lives there. And one of the main characters is writing a coffee table book about what has gone on in this place, and she disappears. So then you start to get a little bit in the backstory as the detective tries to track down and try to get to some understanding of what's going on. Just like The Girl in the Train, this one is really psychological, more so than actual hardcore horror or anyway, but it is very suspenseful, and there are many twists and many turns, and I think the fans of that first book are going to enjoy this one as well.
Let's turn to a title from a familiar name, but a departure from his usual oeuvre. This is a lawyerless thriller from John Grisham.
And I think it's probably the next logical step for John Grisham, because he has sold so many books, to have a suspense or mystery that is set in the world of book collecting is probably the next best thing. It's a story about someone who owns a bookstore, specializes in rarities, and this book starts off with a bang. It starts off with a big heist, so you're immediately caught up in the action of the story as well. And then you find out people are not who they seem, of course, and it's really kind of connected to F. Scott Fitzgerald and the manuscripts that are housed at Princeton. So you really get this look at academia and some of the tricks that they play as well. So it's a great read.
This is On the Record on WIP. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Deborah Taylor of the Enoch Pratt Free Library. She's sharing her reading picks for those looking to relax with a good book this summer. You recommend a new book by Ellen Hildebrand, who's been dubbed Queen of Summer.
Yeah, she's Queen of the Beach Reads, they say. And this one is really so appropriate because it takes place on two beaches, Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket. And there's the daughter's set of twins who, when their parents are divorced, one goes to live with one parent on one island and the other parent on the other. They switch from time to time. But this has caused a crazy kind of relationship within the family. And you get to see how each of them copes when they have been separated and their relationship has been colored by the adults in their lives. You see it then carried down to the next generation, to their own children, and how their parenting then is affected by what they have gone through. And it really is family dynamics. The whole town gets involved because these are small towns in a way. And it really is that kind of beach read where you're kind of eavesdropping on family secrets.
You brought us a story about a Cameroonian couple living in Harlem who faced desperate choices in the wake of the financial crisis of 2008.
This book was an Oprah pick.
And this is Behold the Dreamers
by Mbolo Mbue. And it is a really great first novel. And you begin to realize that the financial crisis of the mid-2000s, mid-2007, 2008, how it affected real people. And that's what she explores in this story. You begin to realize how people are making choices in their relationships based on the fear and based on the uncertainty that the financial downturn has caused. In this case, you find people losing their homes, you find people losing their livelihoods, and you're finding them trying to craft together another life after their financial underpinning has been pulled out from underneath them.
This story actually echoes the author's own experience as a Cameroonian immigrant who lost her job in the financial crisis.
It does. And I think because this is such a personal story, you really get a strong sense of what she has to go through, kind of the desperation jobs that she takes, and you really kind of see it through the eyes of someone who has lived it.
Next up, The Hate You Give by Angie Thomas is a young adult novel that tackles gun violence and police shootings, and you're recommending this for adults.
I'm recommending that everybody read this book. There have been many books, particularly written for young people, talking about the whole episodes with police shootings, trying to help young people make some sense of it. This is probably one of the best that's ever been done. And this is so interesting because Angie Thomas is a brand new writer. This is her first novel. She has written this story about a girl who's kind of caught between two worlds. She goes to private school during the day and she lives in her old neighborhood the rest of the time. You get a strong sense of all the secondary characters around her. She had not seen her friend Khalil in a very long time and accepts a ride home with him from a party, and when they're pulled over by the police, that's when the tragedy happens. And suddenly she is torn between, she didn't want to tell the folks at her private school that she was there at the shooting because she doesn't want to be a hashtag. She doesn't want to be looked at differently. But by the same token, she might be the only way Khalil can have justice. You get a strong sense of so many of the issues that are facing young people today. This book has been on the New York Times bestseller list for 17 weeks, and it has just gone back to the top of the list after just being down a few spots in the last few weeks.
That's The Hate You Give by Angie Thomas. Finally, a new nonfiction title from author, Twitter personality, science celebrity Neil deGrasse Tyson, who is director of the Hayden Planetarium at the Rose Center for Earth and Space in New York City. His new book is Astrophysics for People in a Hurry.
This is for all of those who like to learn stuff during their summer vacation. But they learn stuff in a very easygoing way. Neil deGrasse Tyson is very conversational in this book. He makes concepts that seem so complicated. He explains them in such a way that you feel like maybe I can understand astrophysics. He talks about the things that make up the universe, the forces and laws that govern their interaction. He talks about pioneering scientists who piece together all the information, and he does it with his special kind of wit and humor. So I think this will be a very enjoyable read.
What a great list of recommendations. I hope I have time to read most of these. Thank you.
Thank you. It was great to talk about them.
Deborah Taylor is coordinator for school and student services at the Enoch Pratt Free Library. We have her book recommendations listed at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. When we come back, from triangles to DIY slime, titles for children, tweens, and young adults. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Now we turn to books that might whet the interest of a child, a tween, or a teen in your life. From picture books to young adult fiction, these titles spin tales of far-off islands, dragons, witches, and young love. Jamie Watson is the Collection Development Coordinator for the Baltimore County Public Library. She's with me in studio to share her favorite summer reads for kids of all ages and reading levels. Welcome to On the Record.
Thanks. Thanks for having me today.
First, what does the Collection Development Coordinator do?
I think it's probably one of the greatest jobs you could have. I am the person who oversees the purchasing of all the materials that go in Baltimore County Public Library. All the books, the CDs, the audiobooks, the ebooks, everything. And then when they come in, we open the boxes and I get to be the first to look at them. So it's pretty great.
That is pretty great. What are you looking for when you select books for the collection?
The Baltimore County motto from way, way back in the years of our esteemed director, Charlie Robinson, has always been give them what they want. So we want to try and find whatever it is that's going to appeal to any one of our customers to give them exactly what it is that they're looking for.
That's pretty clear guidance. Some teachers warn that this long vacation is an opportunity for the dreaded summer slide when kids lose some of the gains they've made in reading and math. How do you see reading affecting summer slide? And if it does, what can parents do to encourage reading?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. There's been so much research that shows that those who give up their reading and learning over the summer really do slide back and have to work to catch up when the school year starts. Baltimore County Public Library, as well as all the libraries in Maryland, have done a summer reading program for many, many years. And ours is in full swing. It started about 3 weeks ago. So at all of the Maryland public libraries, kids of all ages, even pre-readers, can come in, sign up to be part of the summer reading program, and earn some prizes along the way, and also stay caught up and be right back where they need to be when school starts again.
You mentioned pre-readers. Let's start there to dive into your recommendations. What do you suggest for little ones who will be reading with someone else?
The picture books that I brought along with me, one of the cool things about them is that they read on one level for the littlest reader, and then they read on a different level for the older readers. One of my very favorite books of the year so far is called Sam Sorts by Martha Jocelyn.
Sam Sorts.
This is a situation that's probably familiar with any parent. There's a giant pile of toys, and Sam has been asked to put them away. But as he starts putting them away, he decides to put them into little piles. And at first, he puts them into little piles with the white toys and the black toys and the red toys and the orange toys. But as Sam goes along, he realizes that there's all kinds of different ways that you can sort your toys. So you can sort things with wheels and things with legs into certain piles, or you can sort things that come in one and things that come in two. So like buttons are round, but they also come in two, and they might also be pink. It's such a cool story because every kid has had to pick up their toys, but it also teaches something, which is something that's going to stay with kids for a long, long time, which is sorting things into like groups. I would imagine that a kid reading this book would not only enjoy reading the story, but would then immediately go and need to sort all the things in the house.
You're expecting that this is going to galvanize kids to clean up their own toy pile.
Eventually.
Okay. Well, moving from counting and sorting to recognizing shapes, we have Triangle by Mac Barnett.
And Mac Barnett is just one of the most creative, clever people in children's literature right now. And boy, is he pumping out books. Triangle at first seems so simple. It's just a triangle who's going to see his friend Square, and Triangle wants to play a trick on Square. So that's probably something that kids can relate to. And so when Triangle walks through the terrain, he passes these rocks that look like circles, and he gets to play the trick. But don't you know that Square is going to get back on him? It's hard to put into words. You really have to sit down and turn those pages.
Triangle's, as you mentioned, it's got some striking illustrations. Mm-hmm. So does another title you selected, The Book of Mistakes by Karina Lucan.
This book, I think, would appeal to everyone from the youngest reader who's just learning how to read and draw, all the way up to art students. Basically, a person draws a little picture and she draws an eye on it, and her one eye is bigger than the other. And we've all been there. We've all made mistakes, and we've all been like, oh, that's terrible. I have to throw it away, start all over. But instead, she decides to turn all of her mistakes into a new way of looking at things. And it goes from trying to make the other eye bigger, covering her with glasses, giving her roller skates, putting her in a scene. It's super fun as you turn the page and you watch the girl appear differently time after time after time. This is a book that will really reward second, third, fourth, 10th reads because you'll always find something else to look at and think about.
You've also brought us some recommendations for kids who are middle readers. Mm-hmm. What does that term middle reader mean?
That's fourth grade up through sixth and seventh grade, where they're really very independent readers. They have their own tastes. But some of the books that I brought can even go a little bit younger in an audiobook or being read aloud to you by a parent.
So let's start with Scar Island. Tell us about Scar Island.
Scar Island is such a rollicking, good, fun of a book. The best way to describe it for those of you who might be avid readers is it's kind of a combination of Holes and Lord of the Flies. And it starts when a boy named Jonathan has done something to get sent to the Slabhenge Reformatory School for Troubled Boys, which
it sounds ominous.
Just as ominous as it sounds. Jonathan gets sent there, and on the very first day, all the mean adults who run the prison are standing outside, and they're scolding all the boys, and they get struck by lightning because they're doing it in the middle of a storm, and boom, they're dead. So now there's no one left but the kids. That's where your Lord of the Flies part comes in.
That is very, very intriguing. And then we have a story about a young girl bonding with her grandfather.
Hour of the Bees came out last year. It's by Lindsay Eager, and it's her first book. Some of the books I brought with me today are going to be very familiar to Baltimore and Maryland listeners, but this one is set in New Mexico, so it's a setting that might be completely unfamiliar. She lives in Albuquerque, but she has to go to rural New Mexico where her grandfather has lived on a ranch, and she's never met her grandfather. Her father is estranged from her grandfather, and unfortunately, they're going to have to move him into an assisted living home because he's beginning to get dementia. This story is beautifully written. It's a cool story for a 12-year-old. She's got an older sister who is so not into being in New Mexico this year. She would so rather be with her friends. And it's all tied in with some magical realism. The grandfather believes that bees used to live in New Mexico, and they took the water away, and there's been a drought. And when the bees come back, everything will be okay. In the beginning, is that his dementia talking, or is that actually, is there more to it? So it really is a good introduction to magical realism for a younger audience and a really wonderful love story between child and grandfather.
And then you brought an epic fantasy about a young girl raised by a witch, a swamp monster, a dragon.
The Girl Who Drank the Moon by Kelly Barnhill is...
The Girl Who Drank the
she
Moon.
She drank the moon. She accidentally drinks the moonlight and she becomes enmagicked. She was not born magic until she drank what the moon had to give. In this town, every year a baby is sent out into the woods as a sacrifice to the witch who lives there. But the witch doesn't want to sacrifice. She has no idea how the story got started. So she saves all the babies and gives them a home. So when she goes to save Luna, she accidentally gives Luna magic because the witch is getting up in years and she didn't realize it was happening until it was too late. And as this book builds and builds, and there's so much happening in this book, so much beautiful language, so much plot. One of the young men who lives in the town is trying to kill the witch so he can stop the sacrifices. There's a mad woman in an attic. There are paper birds who come out and do someone's bidding. There's the tiny dragon. There's so much going on in this book. This is one of the ones that I was mentioning that is just a delightful listen. It's available on audiobook at your libraries, and this would be a wonderful book for a whole family to listen to and sit in the driveway until it's over.
One of your picks is a story of crushes, young love, and sisterhood set in Tacoma Park, Maryland.
Yeah, Becky Albertalli is a relatively new young adult writer. So this one's really for your older middle school or high schoolers. There's definitely some older themes in this one. Her first book was called Simon Versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda, and they're already turning that one into a movie. So this is her second book called The Upside of Unrequited. And when you first describe it, it sounds like the typical teen novel that we've all read a million times. There's two sisters, and one of them's popular and gets a lot of dates, and the other one is overweight and doesn't get as many, and she's sadder. But this book feels so 2017. It doesn't feel like your stereotypical young adult novel at all. For one, Cassie, the popular sister, is a lesbian, and they have two mothers. Their parents are lesbians as well. Molly gets fixed up with the local hipster boy, but it turns out that what she really likes is Reed, who's working with her at this little shop in Tacoma Park, who's not traditionally attractive and has all kinds of geek culture that he loves, and they like their superheroes and their nerddom. It's just so steeped in 2017 culture and mores. And if you've ever been to Tacoma Park or that northwest part of DC, you will feel like you are there reading this book. She really nails it.
For kids who really, really hate reading, what do you have?
Some kids are just not going to sit down and read a novel, but we've got something for them too. Slime and fidget spinners, and we've got one for both of those things. Carrie Garcia's DIY Slime will show you how to make all kinds of different kinds of slime. And then, of course, we've all seen fidget spinners. I had no idea that you could even do tricks with fidget spinners. So there is the ultimate fidget spinner guide that will tell those people who'd rather play with a fidget spinner than read a book how to do tricks like a yo-yo trick with their fidget spinner. Even if you don't like to read, there's something you can do in a book.
What a wonderful set of recommendations. I'm really grateful to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Jamie Watson is Collection Development Coordinator for the Baltimore County Public Library. Jamie Watson's book picks are posted at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you've been listening. Join us again tomorrow, and happy reading.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.